take your Bibles, everybody, and we're going to probably go to Colossians eventually, but I'd like to teach tonight on claiming what is ours by believing. Claiming what is ours by believing. Many years ago, I lived in Berkeley, California, when I went to school, and it was on Sacramento Avenue, I believe, or Street Avenue. We'll go with Avenue. George and I decided Avenue. And it was about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I happened to look outside of my house, and there was a guy outside trying to steal my car, which was interesting. So I went downstairs, and I asked him, excuse me, is this your car? And he goes, yes, it is. And I said, well, that's very difficult to believe because it's my car. And if you don't stop this, we're going to call the police on you. So then he disappeared pretty quickly. So that was my car, and I needed to do something to prevent him from taking what is mine, because it was mine, and I wanted it, and that was very, very important. You know, we have so many things in our life as believers. Today we went over claiming the promises. We had the mountaintop checkbook. We looked at those things, and instead of the word ask, it was the word what? Do you remember? Demand. It's like ours, so we just go and we just claim those promises because they're ours. What we have in Christ, we just rise up and we just claim it. We have healing. 1 Peter 2:24, most of us has heard that verse. We have healing. If we have it in Christ, whether we feel like it or not, and we just need to rise up and believe it. We have 9 manifestations. We can walk with God. We can do all those things. And that's very important. So today what I'd like to look at is comparing Joshua taking the promised land to our walk as believers, rising up and claiming what we have in Christ. You know, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Joshua claimed and conquered the promised land by believing. We can claim the land of promises. We can claim our position in Christ by believing. By believing what we have in Christ, by believing what we have in His name. All that stuff is ours. All we have to do is claim it by believing. God promised the children of Israel in the Old Testament the promised land. They had to walk in and they had to believe it. You know the word Joshua in the Old Testament? It means in the Hebrew, Jehovah saves. The word Joshua in the Old Testament means Jehovah saves. The word Jesus is the same basic word, but it's a Greek word, and it means Jehovah saves in the Greek. You know, our redemption is from and unto something. Our redemption is from and unto. You know, Moses redeemed the children of Israel and took them from the land of what? Bondage. Moses took the children of Israel out of bondage, and Joshua led them into the promised land. So the redemption of people in the Old Testament, it was from the land of bondage, and it was into the promised land. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. So we're going to compare a little bit what happened in the Old Testament with what Joshua did and what we need to do today as believers. Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. claiming what is ours by believing. Joshua did that in the Old Testament. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 13, it says, so remember now, Moses took Israel from the land of bondage and Joshua into the promised land. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 13, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us or given us citizenship into the kingdom of his dear son. So it's from the power of darkness and into something else. Just like in the Old Testament, from and unto. So the book of Joshua in the Old Testament doesn't really start with the children of Israel in the land of bondage, but Moses took them out, and then Joshua took them into the promised land. You know, the book of Ephesians doesn't start off like Romans 1, where humanity is in the land of bondage, if you will, but the book of Ephesians starts off with people seated in the heavenlies, and it describes what we have in Christ. So there's some parallels between Joshua and the book of Ephesians that we're going to see. But take your Bibles, everybody, and look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, this is the record then of the children of Israel claiming the promised land. What we're going to see too is we can claim, quote unquote, the land of promises or our position in Christ as believers as we believe God's word. Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, so, who spoke to Joshua? The Lord. So if the Lord is talking, Joshua better be believing what he's saying, right? So watch this. Moses, my servant, is what? Dead. Now, therefore, arise and what? Go. Arise and go. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. They had waited for a while. Moses had died. They waited a certain period, and then it was time to go. Do we have to wait to believe God's word about what we have in Christ? Absolutely. We don't have to tarry at Jerusalem, tarry in Glen Rock, tarry in Milltown or Atlanta or even Park Avenue. We don't have to do that. Verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Every place you walk, that's yours. So what did Joshua do? He got up and he started walking very fast like that, because every place that he was going to walk was his. Is that what he did? No. But God told him that when they were to go in the promised land, wherever they were going to walk, wherever he was going to walk, that was theirs. And so you know what he had to do? He had to go get it, didn't he? He had to go get it. He had to believe what God was telling him, and he had to go and get it. He had to believe what God was saying, and then take these children of Israel and go over there. You know, in our lives today, we have so many things in our position in Christ, like Dr. Werwell taught about, you know, in the name. And if we're going to utilize this, we need to arise and go in our believing and then go after it and get it. We're going to come back here. Keep your finger here. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So God told Joshua, go, arise and go, and wherever you go in this promised land, wherever your foot goes, that have I given unto you. You know what? It was a past tense reality. Were they in the promised land yet? No. But it was a past tense reality. It was theirs already. Our position in Christ, it's ours already, and all we have to do is claim it. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's ours already. It's not the promised land, but in a sense, it's the land of promises. It's our position in Christ. All we got to do is just claim it by our believing. It's ours. And then to manifest it, we do it. So the book of Ephesians shows that all this position in Christ is ours. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians 4, and in verse 7. Ephesians 4, 7, it says, but unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he, Jesus Christ, ascended up on high, he led captivity, what? Captive. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. For us, for in the Old Testament, it was Joshua that took the children of Israel into the promised land. Because of the accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Everything that captivates you and I, he won already. It's ours. And now all we have to do is claim it by believing. Just like those guys, God promised them in the Old Testament, and then they needed to carry it out. Dr. Rule made a statement, how rich is the church if they only knew it? All this stuff we have, all we got to do is claim it in practice by believing, and we have it. Let's take a look back at Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. All you got to do is walk over there and go get it. All we need to do is claim what's ours. Go get it in our brain. Verse 4, it says, check this out. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your what? That's pretty cool. This whole land thing, that is yours. That is yours. So all these children of Israel, and I don't know how many people, God told Joshua to go in there. It's all yours. Just go get it. But there was a few problems there. Mr. Hittite, for example. Mr. Hittite. Hey, Mr. Hittite. Hey, Hittite, guess what? you know that property that you have that overlooks the Mediterranean, man, right up on the water with the nice view? Guess what? It's mine because God promised me that in Genesis chapter 12. Do you think Mr. Hittite's going to fork it over real quick? And by the way, that retirement house that you have on the Jordan River, that's mine also because I own the land. Oh, please take it. It's yours. You're just the most loving individual. Is that what they're going to say then? If somebody comes and tries to steal your land and takes your house, you might be pissed. But God gave them that. But what is going to ensue here is something physical, something, a battle, something that could be life and death. They're going in there and they're taking the land that God gave them, but there's some other folks that have a difference of opinion and they ain't gonna like it. But they have the promise of God and they better not go by their senses. Because there's giants in the land and giants, you don't wanna get in a fight with a giant, do you? That's not too cool, not too smart. But God told them to go in and get it. Verse 5, it says, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor will I forsake thee. So that's very cool. In Joshua, they had a physical battle, and they needed to battle against the ites, the different kind of ites that we're going to see, and it was a physical, and they were going to claim the promised land. You know, our battle is spiritual, isn't it? Is it in Israel? No, it's in the mind, isn't it? It's in the mind. It's a spiritual battle in the mind. And it's against the adversary and our thoughts and whatever. But do we have the victory? We have the victory. Just, we're coming back here, but let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Our battle isn't to try to claim the promised land, but it's a spiritual battle and it's in our brains. And we need to claim the victory that Jesus Christ won for us. It's ours. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. God told Joshua, nobody's going to be able to stand against you. You just need to go do it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 14. Somebody with a loud voice, why don't you stand up and read? I need somebody here with guts, with boldness. Sid, you're the man. Go ahead.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place.
Thank you, Sid. That was beautiful. Okay, so guess what? We have the victory, don't we? We have the victory. Any devil spirit, any sin, any whatever, God has promised us the victory. So we want to claim what we have in Christ. We want to live for him. We want to do all these things. We need to have the victory to claim it. Didn't we read today that we're more than conquerors? We're more than conquerors. Whatever the adversary throws at my brain, I'm more than a conqueror. I need to claim that. We need to claim it. God told Joshua, go conquer the promised land. Go get it. We in our brains in this spiritual battle, we're more than conquerors in every situation. We have the victory. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Whatever captivates us, any devil spirit, any whatever, some guilt, some insecurity, some whatever it is, Jesus Christ took all that and led it captive. All we got to do is claim it. So let's go back then to Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." You just go. Joshua had to believe that and then act on it. Verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." They had an inheritance. We have an inheritance too. Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very what?" Sounds kind of what he said in verse 6, doesn't it? That could be a figure of speech, some type of repetition, right? You know, when Elise and Gina were growing up, there were times that my wife and I had to repeat things to them 2 or 3 times, right? "Gina, you need to do this." So look, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." The law was God's word that they had there. If they were going to prosper, then they needed to what? Not turn away from the word. Is there some parallels with us today? If we're going to prosper in a godly way, if we're going to claim these promises that we have, claim this resurrection position in Christ that we have, then we need to do it according to the word. So God has already told them to do it twice, or be strong and of a good courage. Are they going to have to be of a good courage to conquer this promised land? Sure. Now, if Joshua and everybody got afraid, are they going to walk in there? Probably not, because the fear would hold them back. They need to not be afraid and then walk in. In our lives today, we need to not let fear get us, but to be able to go ahead and do whatever God would want us to do. Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Is that literal or figurative? What do you think? Who says literal? I'm glad. Okay. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate." If it doesn't depart out of our mouth, that means we speak it. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou must observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." He was to speak it. He was to think it, and he was to do it. Verse 9, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Joshua, I want you to go into the promised land. Be strong and of a good courage. 3 times. He needed to believe that to be able to lead the children of Israel in that way. God promised him the victory, and all he had to do was claim it. In our brains, Jesus Christ led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. We shouldn't let fear hold us back from walking and operating all 9 manifestations, living without fear, living without guilt, and just walking in the light of God's word as he's promised. Verse 10 and 11. Somebody else, please, stand up and read this very loud. Eric, go ahead.
Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land the Lord your God given to possess it."
Okay. Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for in 3 days you're going to pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So that's how it was going to be. God told them it was yours, and then they just had to act on it. Now, let's take a look at Joshua chapter 3. The beginning of the conquering of the promised land began with crossing the river Jordan. Now, they had all these people, and they needed to cross the river Jordan. Chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. Now, they had all this big army, and I'm not sure how many people were there, and they had to get over the River Jordan. And this was the time that the Jordan overflowed in its banks. How were they going to go this? You know, sometimes in life, in our own lives, there's River Jordans that we have, things that we can't cross, things that we can't get around that seem so big. How are we going to get around the situation or get over it? How are we going to cross something that seems to be uncrossable? Verse 3, it says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. There was an army, and all these guys needed to get across this river. How were they going to do it? Well, they were going to do it because the priests carried the ark. It was like a big box, and it was on poles, and different people carried it. And this Ark of the Covenant, you could look in Hebrews 9, but there was a lot of things in it. But a simple thing was it represented God and his word. So how were they going to cross this River Jordan? Where should they cross? How should they cross? Do all these things? God showed them, and how they got into the promised land, they were to follow the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God and his word, like Jerry taught about obeying and following. The path was made by following the ark. Let's take a look here and we'll see. Verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. So the priests had the ark, and they went before the people. Now, let's see what happened. And by the way, God told Joshua that, and Joshua needed to believe what God said. And the people needed to believe the word that Joshua was going to tell them. Verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. That's what God told them to do. God promised them the victory. He was to do this. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord before all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. So these priests had the Ark, and the Ark represented God and his word. Where was the army supposed to cross this big river Jordan? They just were supposed to follow the priest with the ark. And the priest with the ark represented God and his word. They were to follow God's word to get the victory. Came to pass when the priests removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they that bear the Ark were coming to Jordan, and as the feet of the priest that bear the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflows all his banks all the time of the harvest. So what happened? The priest went in. The priest went in. And as the priest stepped in the water with the ark, which represented God and his word, as soon as they did that, then the waters went back. They didn't go back earlier. They went back as the word of God went in there, as the priest went in there, and then everybody followed where the word was. Now, that's very cool. You know, most of us in here speak in tongues and interpret. When you speak in tongues and interpret, when I speak in tongues, does all the message come at once? No, it doesn't at all. We got to be able to walk out a little bit, take some steps, and as we take some steps, then it happens. In this situation, they took some steps, and as they took those steps of believing, then that's exactly what happened. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up. So in other words, that's exactly what happened. In verse 17, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan. So the way they began to take the promised land was they followed the word. They followed the word, and then as they did that, they got into the promised land. God told Joshua. Joshua had to believe, and then when Joshua believed, then he told the people, and the people had to believe what Joshua said. In our lives today, if we want to walk as more than conquerors, if we want to walk all nine manifestations, walk like Jesus Christ, cast out devil spirits, all that, we don't do that by our senses reasoning, but we're led by the word of God. To claim the land of promises or our resurrection position in Christ, we follow the lead of God's word. And we get the victory just like they did. Joshua told the people, look, you just follow these priests, and as soon as the priests go, the water's going to go back. Sense knowledge-wise, that's a pretty stupid thing, isn't it? Like, Joshua, what have you been smoking? Seriously. Yet they believed the priest did exactly what he said, and they went into the promised land. That's pretty amazing. They didn't do it by engineers. They did it by believing God's word. Look at Joshua chapter 10, please. You know, the children of Israel, no army, none of these ites could stand before them. Nobody. None of the ites could stand before them. But there was one day there was sin in the camp. In Joshua chapter 7, somebody did something that wasn't very good at all. And then the children of Israel went into battle, and they got a big ass whooping. Why? Because they didn't put God first, and there was some stuff going on. In our lives today, God has promised us the victory, but we got to believe God and carry it out, and we can walk in victory just like Jesus Christ. You know, someday maybe we might talk to a devil spirit, and maybe that devil spirit's going to say something to us, and maybe we'll know that it's a devil spirit. God can tell us that. And we have the victory because our God is bigger no matter what. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Anything that captivates you and I, we have the victory. And the battlefield is not physical. The battlefield is in the mind. Look at Joshua chapter 10. You know, around this time in the book of Joshua, there was these five kings, and they had a plan. And the plan was, let's all get together and let's, you know, battle the children of Israel. Well, that plan didn't really work, and they got beat. They got beat. And let's take a look at Joshua chapter 10 and in verse 23. In Joshua chapter 10 and in verse 23. Let's say 22. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. Their armies got beat, and where were they hiding out? They were hiding out in a cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto them out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem and the king of Hebron and the king of Jarmuth and the king of Lachish and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua that Joshua called all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with them, come near and put your feet upon the necks of the kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of the kings. That must have been some very cool sight to see. And Joshua said unto them, fear not. Remember this, dude. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for be strong and of a good courage. For thus shall the Lord do unto all your enemies against whom you fight. So, that must have been a really big mind picture. They got these captains, and the captains put their feet on the necks of the kings, and that showed the people that they had the victory. Their enemies were under their feet. That must have really stuck in their mind. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Those people put their feet on the necks of the kings. Their enemies were underfoot. Their enemies were underfoot. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 20, or verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under Christ's feet, and gave him to be head, over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. All things are under Christ's feet, and all things are under our feet. Just like the necks of those kings were under those captains, all things, if we really understand who we are in Christ and what we have of God's ability inside of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, all things are under our feet. Any devil spirit, any whatever, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. God has given us the victory. We have so much, we're so wealthy in Christ. All we got to do is claim it. To wrap it up, let's go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. So the book of Joshua, by this time, most of the promised land had been captured. In Joshua 24, most of the promised land had been captured. And Joshua was old and he was stricken in years. And we're going to pick this record up. He had a leaders meeting and he got everybody together. And he was laying out some stuff and he was telling them what God had done. In Joshua chapter 24 and in verse 11, it says, "And you, the children of Israel, went over Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand." God delivered them. God delivered them. "And I sent the hornet before you." Was that like a nuclear weapon back then? You know, the United States has an airplane called a hornet, doesn't it? Was that that plane? Probably not. How did God beat these great armies of all these ites? In this situation, you know what he did? He sent a bunch of bees, a bunch of hornets. "And I sent the hornet before you and drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with a sword nor with your bow. And I've given you a land for which you did not labor." That kind of sounds like grace, doesn't it? "I gave you a land for which you didn't even labor." Sounds like Ephesians 1 through 3. "And cities which you built not, and that you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do ye eat." You just went there and look at all this cool stuff. Sounds a lot like God's grace. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt and serve the Lord." Look, I gave you all this. Now, if you want to keep it and stay there and do all these things, now what you got to do is just live. Put me first and go get it. Look at this. This kind of sounds a little bit like practical application. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve who? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Kind of sounds like Ephesians chapter 6, doesn't it? We have to make up our mind. God gave the promised land to them. All they had to do was walk in and claim it, and they did. And then now he tells them, walk and do these things and put me first and all that. We have so much that we have in Christ, and if we're going to walk in the light of the victory and all these different things, we just need to put God first and walk in on it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 to close, please. Ephesians 6. So we saw how in the Old Testament they claimed the promised land, but it was a physical fight. It was, but God promised them the land, and they had to not be afraid, and they had to go claim it. For us, it's not a physical fight, but it's a spiritual one, and the battlefield is in the mind. Are we going to claim the victory that God has given us in Christ? And if we do, and we don't allow fear in different things, but if we believe what we have, we'll be able to walk and live in the freedom that Jesus Christ promised us. In Ephesians chapter 6, they didn't go into the promised land by their own power. God let them in. God fought their battles, and God gave them the victory. They followed God's word. Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against the ites and all these different people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand." Jesus Christ won the victory for us. All we need to do is believe it, claim the promise, and walk in on it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thanks for your word. Thanks for the privilege we have to be your kids. Thanks for this wonderful camp and for all that you've done for us. Thanks for the victory that we have in Christ. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.